Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible today, please turn with me to the book of John. We're continuing our series of chapter 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we open your word, expecting to hear from you, expecting to receive from you. The word of God teaches, and we believe, that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we ask, Lord, for understanding, and we ask for a word from heaven today from your holy word. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you're listening to this, this is the first Sunday in 2009. Many of you went to watch night services, and it was a Wednesday night, and I'm glad that you attended. And I would like to make a few comments about the new year. And I'm sure my comments will not make me any friends. But I believe that the Lord has laid something in my heart, and I'll try to tell you what the Lord, I believe, has shown me. At the watch night service, perhaps you heard a sermon about how we had the various things that happened in 2008, and that 2008 was a year of beginnings, some say, and then we're looking forward to 2009. And I'm not exactly sure what the official prophetic word is for 2009. I was looking on the internet, and one liar said that it's the year of opportunity. What do you mean, Brother Kelly, a liar? Well, that's what I'm saying. I believe that there are liars that are telling you that one year is the year of blessing, one year is the year of new beginning, one year is the year of opportunity, one year is the year of this or that. And I said I wouldn't make any friends. Well, let's go ahead and lose a few, perhaps. The Bible tells us that God counts time sometimes year by year, but he does not do so according to our calendar. The Word of God tells us of the Jewish calendar. The beginning of the new year in the Jewish calendar is 15 days before Passover. And we know that Passover is generally in March or April or something. Now the Jews will teach that the Jewish new year is in September, and that's when they celebrate it. And I've said on this program that they're mistaken. The Word of God is plain as you study, and as we have done on this program, if you study in Exodus about the Passover, he says that this month shall be to you the beginning of months. And on the 15th day of the month was the Passover. And some of you may get upset, that's fine. You're welcome to do so. But the Word of God says one thing, one way, and I believe that we should order our thoughts, celebrate our holidays, and pattern all of our life after what the Word of God says. So they said that 2008 was a year of new beginnings. In 2007, they said it was the year of something. I don't remember. I've forgotten. there's this vague hype, this vague prophecy, this vague hype that, okay, well, you know, you've struggled with something all year, but this coming year, this is going to be the victory for you. Or you've been believing God for this or that, and you're going to receive it in the coming year. But again, it's a vague statement, a vague prophecy. If 2008 was the year of new beginnings and anything new happened for you, then someone can point and say, see, the prophecy's been fulfilled in your life. Well, what is 2009? Is it opportunity? I don't know. I don't really watch too much Christian television. I don't know what they're saying. But again, it's vague prophecy, and it's hype, and it's unscriptural, most of what they say. And again, God counts time according to the Jewish calendar, which is found in Scripture. But they will say that the year 2008 ends in an 8, and if you go into such and such passage in perhaps the book of Leviticus or something, you will find that 8 means something. You will look in, let's say, next year, 2009, it ends in a 9, and you can look in the book of Jeremiah, and 9 means something, they will say. And to be honest, this gets into what we know as numerology. And numerology, some will say that there's a biblical numerology. The Bible does not teach such. But every number supposedly has a meaning, and if you have a string of numbers and you add them up, you get some kind of result or something. Most numerology is pagan in origin. And we're not pagans. We're not supposed to rely upon their understanding. We're not supposed to take their customs. And while we're talking about numbers, I'd like to say something else. This year or last year or whatever, all the rage was about the Bible codes. You can find different messages by counting the different numbers or letters or something, and you go up and down and backwards or across or something. And you can find messages. You take the letter of the alphabet, if it's an A, then it's a 1 or something, or whatever kind of symbols that they use. And many will try to prove that 9/11, for instance, was foretold in the Bible on page whatever, chapter so-and-so of some book. And it's wrong. It's error. The Bible does have hidden meanings. That's plain. Jesus said so. He said that he spoke to his disciples in parables so that only those that loved him, loved his word, and wanted to follow him would understand. And that the Pharisees, Sadducees, whatever, the religious crowd, they would not. But he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. It's God's will that you understand the Word of God. It's God's will that you understand the parables. And again, his disciples would ask him privately, what does this mean? And he would plainly tell them, and then it's written down for us to see. Not all of the parables are interpreted, but many of them are. So there is a hidden message, but it's not in counting up letters and what have you. It's not trying to take a passage of Scripture in code or not and look at some current event or something in history and say, well, okay, I know what this means based on this contorted reading of Scripture. And again, these Bible codes, it's all the rage the last couple of years. What the people that preach or teach these Bible codes don't tell you is that the Bible code system was invented by a man, a Jew who did not believe in Jesus Christ. And he, when he discovered this method of counting numbers or something, he was astounded to find that, lo and behold, the Bible taught that Jesus was not the Messiah. Now, you can have Bible codes and count all these things and predict 9/11 if you want, 9/11 if you want. And again, if you want to know what the Bible says to tell the future, perhaps you could read the book of Daniel. Perhaps the book of Revelation. perhaps all through the Old Testament, sprinkled little bits and pieces of prophecy that are very plain, very easy to understand, and most prophecy, again, foretold the coming of the Lord Jesus, his first coming. But Brother Kelly, what's going to happen in 2009? I'd like to know. You can look in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. Jesus speaks one by one to the churches in Asia Minor. And there are those that teach that these, and again, these were literal churches, make no mistake, but some will teach that these represent various ages or periods of time in the church. And if you believe that, and I'm not saying one way or another if it's true, but if you believe that, I'd like to take a look at one of the churches, in fact, the last one. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." And he's identifying the speaker. It's Jesus Christ. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will vomit you up out of my mouth," from the Greek it says. But Brother Kelly, what's going to happen in 2009? I'm trying to tell you. "Because thou sayest," in verse 17, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And let's look at that again. "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." If these two chapters speak of the ages of the church, and if that's the correct interpretation, I'm not saying it is or it isn't, if you believe that the end times are near, then this is what happens right before the end comes. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and we've read this a few weeks ago, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." A falling away. The Word of God teaches an end times revival. That is true. It really speaks of an ingathering, a harvest of souls. But also parallel to that, it talks about an end times apostasy, a falling away. It used to be that we preached and believed God for lost souls. It used to be in our churches we'd have an altar call after the message, and we'd believe God for sinners to come down to kneel and to repent. Or if they had some kind of need in their life, perhaps some psychological need, perhaps trouble at home, maybe if they were sick and needed to be healed, they would come and ask God to help them. The Word of God tells us again and again and again that we should come to Him, we should look to Him, we should gather unto Him. But that we don't teach anymore. Instead, we teach our flock how to believe God for Lexus and Cadillac and an SUV, perhaps. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't believe in SUVs anymore. We're told that if we give $100, God will give us back a hundredfold return, $1,000, or $10,000, if I can do math today. We can go in the bookstores and see all the self-help books. It used to be Christians knew better than to look for self-help. They left that to the sinners. But today, if you go to the bookstore, most of the shelves are filled with how you can help yourself. Jesus said to forsake self. He said that self is not where it's at. You need to look to God. You need to look for God help, not self help. You turn on the TV, you've got the dietary supplements. They're all pushing pills. Snake oil, I call them. And they have different passages that they'll take out of context and say, well, this verse says that you need this mineral or something, and if you take our pills, you'll have it. And they have a scriptural supposed backing. Psalm 86, verse 1 says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Today, if you don't drive the right kind of car, then God must not be blessing you. Well, the Word of God says something different. What does the list say? And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We used to believe in the robe of righteousness. We used to believe in the power of God. We used to believe in a lot of things that we've forgotten about in the last few decades. He says, I stand at the door and knock, verse 20. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. He goes on and says, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, bless God, let's hear what God has to say about 2009. It's a year of opportunity, they say. Well, they're lying. 2008 was not a year of new beginnings. They're lying. Don't believe the hype. If you want to know what God is saying to the church in 2009, it's this. Repent. Repent. Don't listen to the man that says you can get a hundredfold return. Don't listen to the man that judges your spirituality based on the kind of clothes that you wear, the kind of car that you drive. Don't listen. We need to get back to our first love, Jesus said. And it's not in things. A man's life doesn't consist in the things, the abundance of things that he possesses. But it's humility. It's true faith. It's sound doctrine. It's a love of lost souls. It's a compassion for the lost. It's praying for the sick, praying for the shut-in, perhaps. It's going to the nursing home and visiting grandma, maybe once in a while, maybe somebody else's grandma. Find a church that has these kinds of ministries and go with them. And why don't you go bless somebody once in a while instead of saying, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Well, brother, this is a hard message. Well, yes, it is. The prosperity message, it doesn't play down in Haiti. And I've been there. It's a very wretched country. It's miserable. It's terrible. Those people don't have anything. This message doesn't play, like I said, in Haiti. It doesn't play in tribal Africa. You can't believe God for Alexis in Chad. The gospel of greed, which is what it is, it only tickles the ears of those in Western countries, in the rich countries, and mainly in America. And what's more, third world Christians, they will look at American TV via satellite, or maybe somebody's got a tape or something. Or once in a while, some harebrained evangelist will go and he'll try to preach this message down there. And they shake their heads in disbelief. They read the Word of God, and then they see American preachers who are drunk, really. Drunk with power, drunk with pride, drunk with things, and not full of the Spirit of God. Generally, the third world thinks that America's right, or at least better than they are. They've got more instruction in America, they say. And they try to imitate us. But the messages they see over television, they damage the work of God in these countries. It's harmful. The thing that we export these days, instead of sending missionaries who'll sacrifice everything and give their lives, now we send them television with gold rings, with a Rolls Royce out back, what have you. And this image hurts the work of God. Again, and I'm not trying to be a prophet, but I believe God's word to the church, I don't care what year it is, but it is the end times, is to repent. Get back to the gospel. Open it for yourself. He said that you have no need that any man should teach you. Now, certainly I'm an evangelist. I'm trying to teach the word of God, but the word of God can speak to you. You can get a message for yourself from the Word of God. Oh, what should I do? Well, you can find the answer yourself in the Word of God. And I would counsel and exhort everyone and plead with everyone to come back to the Lord and to trust Him with your whole heart. So let's take a look at our message today. In John chapter 14, and I just read it. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." Now, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And you may ask the question, how can we be greater than Jesus? How can we do any work that's greater than Jesus? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He preached with such conviction. He walked on water. How could we possibly do greater works than these? Well, he's telling the truth. We need to understand that. But he says, because I go to my Father. And this passage we've been studying, these three chapters, talks about the Holy Spirit. And as we'll read in just a couple of verses, it says that he will send, let's go ahead and do that. In verse 16, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And what he's saying here, and what he's implying, is that the Holy Spirit will help us. He says in verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Well, Lord, give me a Lexus. But there's several things you need to understand. The Holy Spirit was given, as we know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you should receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and that's fine. "And you should be witnesses unto me." And the word witness, I've said before, means martyr. You're to take up your cross and bear it. You're to deny yourself and take up your cross and bear it. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." If what you're asking for glorifies God, does it glorify God for you to have a Lexus? I don't know. But it glorifies God if you take my suggestion and go visit those widows in the nursing home and tell them about the love of God. It glorifies God if you'll perhaps clean out your closet and then take the clothes to either your pastor or somebody that you know that has some sort of a homeless ministry. Or maybe you could start one yourself in your own church. What do they call it? The wall? Have you considered caring for those people down there? You can use Isaiah chapter 58 as your proof text. So if the things you're asking for glorify God, he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But there's another condition, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And we'll pick it up there next week. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.